Our friend Dave Revson of the Big Ten Network to talk about this from last night. Hello, Dave. How are you?
Speaks, Mac. What's going on, guys?
Oh, you know, just a little Bruce Weber conversation. That was quite something last night. He sounded like a guy who has conceded that the job is going to be lost. He sounded like a guy who's tired of fighting whatever the demons have been that he is fighting. Didn't he last night?
Yeah, he really did. I mean, I think it's hard to disagree with that statement. I think that Bruce came off as a guy who's kind of resigned to the fact that this is not heading in the direction that he wanted it to head in, and is kind of now looking back mentally and saying, all right, where did this go wrong? And even articulated some of those thoughts as to where he thinks it went wrong.
Dave, we had our first conversation on this show with Mike Thomas just a couple of days ago, and my first blush impressions of this guy are good. He seems to mean business. He did so a couple of months ago when he decided that he'd had enough of Ron Zook, was willing to eat a considerable amount of contract, and the word is that he's got the support of people in the Illini administration to do the same thing with Bruce Weber. Would you consider it a major upset if there isn't a coaching change after this year wraps up? I mean, what does Weber have to do to continue in his job?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to obviously have to go on an incredible run here. You know, he didn't necessarily rule it out in the news conference yesterday, said we kind of need to put things together here. But I do think, obviously, the deck is stacked against him right now, and that's a shame, guys. And I know that you guys have had some interaction with Bruce Weber, and I have spent a lot of time around Bruce and covering him. And he's an awfully good guy. You know, there are few coaching staffs that prepare a team in the way that Bruce Weber's staff does. Jay Price and those guys do an incredible job. You know, I get to watch practices, obviously, and privy to some of that stuff. And you know, they're always prepared. He said something that was interesting last night where he was talking about, I don't know if you guys heard this, the plan A, plan B stuff, where he said, you know, they're pretty good. We put them in position with plan A, and they're pretty good at executing plan A. But if teams have prepared for plan A, or if that's not necessarily working to the point where we're going to win, we're not great when I ask them to go to plan B. And again, you know, I know he singled out some guys individually, but I think he put some of that on himself as well.
You know, I thought he did a bad job of balancing that last night in terms of how much to put on the other guys and to put on himself.
Yeah.
When he said the stuff about himself, it sort of was just kind of tossed off. It sounded like a guy who knew he had to say that. You know what I mean? He's done
yep.
a better job of balancing it in the past. Dave, it's just, I guess it's a guy who has changed his demeanor, changed his style as the talent has gotten better, as he has needed to go out and get higher-end talent. He hasn't been the same hard-ass or been the same disciplinarian out of fear. That, you know, and he said it. He delineated that last night, that he's been coaching not to lose instead of coaching to build the atmosphere. It takes a special personality to keep being yourself even as you recruit bigger and better talent who obviously could go to other places other than your destination.
You know, he said some interesting things last night, Speaks, and I, you know, I'm talking to him through the years. One of the things he said right off the top was he singled out Robbie Hummel and Draymond Green and said, you know, those are the kinds of guys you wish you could coach. And I think you know, and Mac, you would have a lot of insight into this, being a Purdue guy. You think back to how they succeeded at Purdue. I mean, yes, they had Glenn Robinson, you know, when he was there with Coach Katie. But this is also a program that won with a lot of Todd Mitchells and Steve Schefflers, and a team that's winning right now with Lewis Jackson.
Matt Waddell would be one of my favorites.
Right. I mean, those are blue-collar guys, and I think that's kind of the type of program that Bruce Weber feels comfortable in. And that's why it worked at Southern Illinois. I think that's why it works to a large extent at Purdue. And that's not to say you don't want to go after elite players. And there are two Purdue guys from last year's class in the NBA right now, and Juwan Johnson, Etuan Moore. You need some of those guys, clearly, to succeed. But I think for whatever reason, it's kind of been a little bit of a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation with Bruce. I mean, think about the high-profile kid that he got recently out of Chicago. You know, Jeremy Richmond, he locks up when he's a high school freshman. And by the end of Jeremy Richmond's freshman year, he's quit the team, declared for the NBA, ends up, you know, in all kinds of legal trouble. Now, Bruce was saying to me once a couple years ago, he said, you know, it's just kind of the point with this AAU culture. We are literally recruiting kids, and you never meet their high school coach. Never. And there's just something that feels wrong about that. And so I think that that's kind of it's an adjustment. But that's the reality. You know, that's what it is. And so if you're going to be in that job, I think you have to adjust to that reality. And maybe that just doesn't feel comfortable to him.
That's the thing. It feels like that kind of balance that he's got to do, it's too much for him. And that was made clear last night, unfortunately. Yeah, but a lot of Purdue envy in his comments there. And obviously coming out of the Gene Katie program and from the Gene Katie tree, he's got that envy. Carl Landry also in the NBA, another Purdue guy, though not a Matt Painter recruit. The irony is here, Dave Revson, that the first guy to get to the NBA as a Bruce Weber recruit is probably going to be Myers Leonard. You know, he doesn't have anybody, and that'll be the first one, and Myers Leonard absolutely driving him crazy, like everybody else. And some of that with good reason. Let's talk about these players, Ramona, Brandon Paul and Myers Leonard. They are frustrating. They are frustrating players. Myers Leonard, you know, just doesn't give it to you the same way from one half to the next.
Yeah, and one thing that I talked about with Bruce earlier in the year, he said, you know, we're still trying to teach Myers to be a seven-footer, to go down on that low block and to battle. And again, you can say it as many times as you want, but, you know, in that first half last night, I mean, Myers Leonard just wasn't engaged in the way you need to be engaged in a desperation game. I mean, a game you absolutely had to have. And again, look, it's pretty much his first year playing because they had Mike Tisdale last year. So, you know, Myers Leonard played sporadically here and there and had a few big games. But, you know, by and large, this is his first year, and part of it is a process. But I also think, you know, it's tough for Myers Leonard. I mean, here's a kid who lost his dad at a very young age. He was killed in a bicycling accident. His mom has terrible back problems, can barely leave the house. I mean, he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders. He gets on the internet and he sees himself on all these NBA draft boards. It's hard for kids like that. And I think maybe it's tough to get through to him. Like, yes, that will all come, but let's worry about beating Purdue tonight and what we need to do to beat Purdue.
If I was to ask you to rank the best coaching jobs in the Big Ten, if all of them are available after this year, that there's some horrible, tragic freak accident and every coach is gone.
This seems like a very likely scenario.
Oh, yeah, extremely likely. But, you know, let's think about this. I probably have to put Ohio State number one right now, and not just because of what Thad Mata has done, but because of some history there as well. I'd probably put – it's either Michigan State. It's Michigan State or Indiana at two. I mean, the tradition of Indiana, and Tom Crean's got it back going pretty quickly here. I think I could make a case for Illinois at four. I really could. I mean, you could have Michigan in there. You could have Purdue in there. You could have Wisconsin in there. But I could make a really good case, and I'd probably put Illinois at number four in terms of the jobs in this conference.
I can't argue with your list. I mean, I think that's about right. You know, it is a very good job. There's no doubt about it. And again, I think Bruce Weber would tell you it's a very good job. You know, you do have the national recruiting base of Chicago. You have good players who come out of other parts of the state as well, but there are a lot of people going after Chicago. You know, he's clearly not the only one. I mean, all you have to do is look at Kentucky and, you know, the great freshmen that they've got, and, you know, you go all across the country and there are Chicago players contributing all over the place. So that's the challenge, you know, for Illinois is to consistently get players out of Chicago.
You can follow Rever on Twitter at BTN, Dave Revson, McNeil and Spiegel talking college buckets. We have Jay Zawoski is standing by with some Blackhawks news, some breaking news we're going to get to in just a little bit. Hey, I didn't see the game last night. We were in the air, Dave. Was Northwestern as close to Indiana as the score indicated? And to follow that up, is Bill Carmody finally taking them to the NCAA tournament?
They were close. I mean, it was a tie game with 4 minutes to go, and just down the stretch, Verdell Jones, the Champagne kid, interestingly enough, made some shots for Indiana, and you know, Sherna was phenomenal for Northwestern, but no one else really stepped up. You know, they really need Drew Crawford or someone like that to make some shots down the stretch, but they were really close. I don't know. I mean, I still think it's attainable. You know, they have five games left. I think they feel comfortable they have to win four of them, but you're talking Minnesota and Michigan at home. Michigan, they took to overtime in Ann Arbor. Minnesota, where they got hammered in Minneapolis, but I still think that that's a game that it's certainly conceivable they could win. And then they have to go on the road with Iowa and Penn State, and those are both teams they handled pretty easily in Evanston. And then you have Ohio State at home, which is a team they played really well last year, if you remember. I mean, they were down to the last possession with them in Evanston, and then they took them to overtime in the Big Ten tournament. So it's not inconceivable, but it's going to take some work, no doubt about it. Those were two games, the Purdue game and the Indiana game, that you know, they kind of needed to win one of them to feel a little bit better about themselves.
Yeah,
but it's doable.
I was at that Ohio State game at Welsh Ryan last year, and they did play him awfully well. And, you know, Carmody's doing some very good things. I'll tell you, if the Illinois slide continues and say they're one and done in the Big Ten tourney and Northwestern wins a couple, they could be that sixth team out of conference to get there. This could still be the year. Still conceivable because they have that win over Illinois, which might end up mattering.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, they're going to need to win. You know, beating Michigan, for instance, would really help them because that's a team that's going to be in the NCAA tourney. Seton Hall playing well recently has helped them because that is a team that they beat on a neutral court, you know, if Seton Hall makes the tourney. Again, you just want wins against NCAA tournament quality teams. You know, in Washington last night, and Jimmy Jackson and Gary Williams and I were talking about this in studio, they are a good enough team to be in the NCAA tournament. I mean, if they were in it, they would represent themselves well. But at a certain point, you kind of have to win some of these close games. And they won a couple of them. They beat Michigan State. They beat Illinois on the road. But, you know, losing in overtime at Michigan, losing the home game to Illinois, this game last night, you got to seize some of these down the stretch in order to make it happen.
Reverend, thanks a bunch for the time today. We appreciate it, man. Take care.
All right, guys. Enjoy New York. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks, Dave.
Dave Revson from Big Ten Network joining us on the Home Run In Pizza Hotline.
He knows we're here. He knows we're going to the game.